Welcome everyone to the blessings of Christ on this 27th day of June, almost the end of our first summer month. Oh my goodness. Of course, down here though, 6 months out of the year are summer. We sneeze at spring and it's gone. We sneeze at fall and it's gone. So, for us, it's not a big deal to get into summer, but still, I think it is for all of us collectively to be in this season where we look for some relaxation, some joy, and a little bit of play. Tony, I'm going to let you take over for a minute because I was rushing so much to get here. I didn't prepare myself with a glass of water. I will be right back. So you're here with Tony, and we would love to hear what you want for a blessing or whatever you would like to comment on or express gratitude for as a blessing.
This is Tony. I'm on here now as well. Hi, everybody. I'm glad you're able to call in. And it sounds like it's challenging with the electrical storms down there.
You know, the interesting thing is I had not been able to be on at all morning, and I kept thinking,
wow,
clear up, clear up, clear up. So then I wrote you, and the minute it turned 2:58, 2 minutes before the call, it all cleared up.
Well, that's good news. Another miracle.
A baby miracle, but still, I think very significant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that spirit whispered to me once, there really are no children. They're all, even the little ones are still so amazing. You okay? I heard you cough. Well, we've got one thing I wanted to mention is just that today the moon and Saturn are together. So that always resonates with all types of revelations related to the connection between our inner state of being and the way that we're working with whatever circumstances are unfolding. So we have that energy with us today. It seems interesting because in many ways the moon and Saturn seem so very different, but they have this beautiful resonance in their presence. I think Glenda may have dropped off. I'll have to wait a minute, second till she gets back. So I'll just tell you a little bit more about that. You may know that, and I mentioned it before, the orbit for Saturn is 29.5 years. Well, that happens to be a very close connection with the number of days it takes the full moon to go from one full moon to the next full moon, or the one new moon to the next new moon. So the duration of that period is 29 and a half days. So we have this very interesting relationship in time between the pattern for the moon's orbit and the pattern for Saturn's orbit. So I think that's one of the reasons that even though they seem to be so very different, because the moon resonates with the energy of mother and home, and it really is about our sensitivity to our own deep inner rhythms. A lot of people like to think of the moon as relating to emotional insight, and I'd say that's part of it, but think about it. Your inner landscape is a whole lot more than just your emotions. And if I was going to think about that inner landscape, I'd say that maybe it's like an ocean. And the emotions, in many ways, are like the waves. And then all of the content of the ocean is beneath what is showing up on the surface. And so we have all of that energetic interaction. Well, the moon is a sensitive, intuitive, conscious connection to all of those currents that run so deep inside us. And it's, you can think of the way the sun illuminates the outer landscape. In that same way, the moon shines on everything in the inner landscape. So when the moon and Saturn connect up together, we actually get it's surprisingly revealing. Because although, you know, Saturn seems to provide us a lot of challenges and limitations, and sometimes we find ourselves bumping up against structure, the moon really shines a light on all the dynamics from the inside out that are helping us with that, all of the outer dimensions and our circumstances, and like what Yeshua tells us about the way that we can be free in the midst of any situation, any circumstance, is to really connect deeply with our being and what's going on inside it. So that there's such an important connection there, and it seems no surprise that we get those kinds of connections and benefits when we have a day when the moon and Saturn are transiting together. Hi, Glenda, I see you're back.
I am, and I was really enjoying everything you said.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's like, it's one of those days, I think it's nice to share some of those connections. It's
yeah.
The moon and Saturn have a really extraordinary connection.
And well, I see that now. And last night, I saw the moon in the eastern sky. It was enormous. It was like a dinner plate moon. And rarely I see the moon come up because we're sheltered by so many trees around our home. And in the neighborhood I live, that if I would go down to the beach, of course I could see it every night. But, you know, that's not always the most appropriate thing to be doing.
Yeah.
It was just unbelievable. Just, mm-hmm. I'd never seen one so large and so bright, except mm-hmm. for the exceptional ones that you're told to expect. You know, this just
yeah.
caught me by surprise, and it was glorious, just mm-hmm. glorious. Now, your message really struck home very deeply with me because all of my life, I've been dealing with a connection between Saturn and the moon.
Hmm.
Because my moon is in Saturn is in Cancer. And Cancer is ruled by the moon. And, so that Saturn-moon connection has always been part of my life, which made me look deeper on everything. Don't
mm-hmm.
just look at the surface. Go deep. And sometimes it made things hurt worse. Sometimes it really accelerated the challenge. But the challenge accelerated always paid off with more understanding, more depth of understanding, more compassion, and, more ability to operate at deeper levels.
It's interesting. I think it resonates. As you were saying that, something spoke to me, and it's like what Yeshua tells us about paradox. Because
yeah.
in some way, the way the moon operates, so much the ruler of the inner landscape, and the way that Saturn operates, it's so much, you know, structure and especially what we can observe and deal with around us. So there's a paradoxical element to that. So
mm-hmm.
I think There's somehow this natural intelligence that's demonstrating itself through that dynamic, and it's very interesting because when it's kind of like I've noticed it because I also have an aspect that is really strong with the moon and Saturn in my chart, and I have some squares with Saturn just make it more challenging. And I was, I was born under one of those Jupiter-Saturn conjunctions in 1961. So there's a lot of different things that I've had to look at, trying to understand how this works out in my own experience. But it's surprising, like you were saying, when you have those kinds of challenges, sometimes you just really need to look deeper, allow the connections that come from the inside out to really come up and help. Mm-hmm. And I've had similar benefits just from having to deal with the presence of those two, and sometimes it seems like they're at odds, but they surprisingly they reveal a lot of graceful connections and workability, especially when we respect that. What's going on inside us and allow it to help us and guide us and really illuminate our path.
Yeah. Oh, well, is there someone else who would like to?
There is. I see June's ready. Let me bring June on the line.
Okay.
Hi, Glenda and Tony and everybody. I want to ask a blessing for my cousin up in Quebec City, and also to bring up a question. How do you feel about assisted suicide for people?
How do I feel about what?
Assisted suicide.
Well, I have very mixed feelings about it. I think that I can only speak for myself because I will not say something about someone else's destiny.
Of course.
I know for myself, and it is in my living will, that if I am unconscious and cannot live without life support, I'm asking them to unplug it. So that would be one case of assisted suicide. If I'd come to the end of my life and I'm just lying there in pain, waiting to be lifted out of my body, I think it's a good thing to just let nature take over and accelerate the process. But the danger with assisted suicide is how it could be misused, to relieve responsibilities prematurely, shall we say, or to utilize another a person's state of dementia to do something that really is not to the benefit of the soul, because life and death should be in the hands of God. They really should. And I wouldn't go so far as to call it murder, but it's somewhere along the lines of taking the life and death decision out of the hands of God. And I'm not comfortable with that.
Well, I'm not comfortable with it either, but I'm, confronted with it. So, for someone I haven't seen because of the pandemic and probably close to 2 years, who in Canada, if you apply for it, they send a medical doctor who's also has psychiatric training to see you and see if you are a candidate, that you're not just depressed or that this is that you're in some way dealing with something so chronic or terminal, that you need to be relieved of the extreme pain you're in. So I think it's something that I'm just trying to, wrap my mind or my spirit around, because we say that there is no death. in one sense, you know, that the spirit is free and we're spirits in a human body, you know. But there
well,
is
that that is certainly true. And I don't disagree with any part of that, but the fact is our way out, the way we exit, has a powerful revelation to the soul. Just like the way and the time we enter has a powerful imprint upon our future life. And so the entrance and the exit door to life are significant and sacred. And so I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't either. I mean, I'm, you know, she has a date in September, you know, for this assisted suicide, and I'm hoping to go and visit when the border is opened, you know, and it's possible I'll find her greatly changed, you know, and so, I mean, she has a lot of things that are causing her extreme pain, so she says that she, that's for her that she just can't stand it anymore, so, and she doesn't want to live on morphine, so she's appealed to the, you know, to the government for that, and she did, they did determine her to be a candidate, so.
Well, I think that with those, all of those levels of responsibility, that would certainly increase my likeliness to say, go ahead with it, but it can't be my decision.
No, I'm not asking you to make a decision about it. I guess I'm, for my own sake, I'm asking God to, you know, help me understand this and accept it. And because I feel like it's also important for me and people like me who know mm-hmm. her and love her, how, whether she chooses that date and or not, you know, other people are influenced. I'm influenced.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, let's put her in our prayers. Let's put the whole thing in our prayers and in the blessing. Okay.
Because yes, thank you.
You know, it's something our minds can't decide on right now, but it's something certainly worthy of prayer and blessing.
Well, I just found myself retreating and withdrawing from the whole thing, and I thought, that's not good. You know, that's not the
way. I think it's something really, really worth talking about, but we have very limited time on our blessing call.
No. I thank you. Her name is Odette, and, you know my name. And
of course.
And other people who are in similar circumstances, you know, are also influenced. We put them without name on the on this list too.
Yes, absolutely.
And thank you.
Thank you for giving us this opportunity to engage with it and pray about it and have our own individual response to that subject. It's an important
yes. one. And it sort of fit in with what Tony was saying too about the interior, you know, the junction of revelation and the interior spirit being like an ocean with many aspects and going there into the, you know, myself to see what I come up with and what God sends.
I think that's great. A great prospect. Okay. We're going to open the line for Jerome. Bye-bye.
Oh.
Jerome, hello.
Hello, Glenda. Blessings, Jerome and Jerry Quacko. And my wife and I were just down in Wisconsin at Teal Lake, and it was just the most beautiful part of nature we'd seen for a long time. And we got to feel nature and God and spirit and everything that the universe has for us. And so I want to send my blessings to you and everything you do. And you are just priceless with God and spirit, and thank you for everything you are and do, and blessings to everybody on this call, too, because we're all having a great time with the universe, and the universe of everything that God's love and light and peace and joy are, and that helps me and my family, but you're helping everyone, too, so thank you for your light
thank
and love,
you.
Peace and joy, and for everybody on the call, too.
It's my pleasure and privilege to be here.
Okay,
and,
good. Thank you.
I've got you and all your loved ones on my list.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Love and blessings, too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Sandy, I'm opening your line. Hello.
Hi, Glenda. I'd like to ask for a blessing for my mother, who is 91 and went into the hospital over the weekend. She's dealing with she's been sick for a little while with a bug, and she got dehydrated and wasn't really taken care of properly, and then had a UTI that went kind of skyrocketed on her. So she's in the hospital now, and she's stabilized. But I'm very worried about her, and also would like to ask for prayers that I live far away, and my siblings are kind of in control, and they don't know very much about nutrition. So the day before her UTI spiked, my sister fed her 3 pieces of cake. So they just are completely clueless. They have no idea about probiotics, you know, when given antibiotics, all that stuff. So I'm really having a bit of a hard time with my hands tied out here, knowing all that I do and knowing, mm-hmm. just trying to trust that they're going to do right by her.
Are they willing to learn?
If it comes from their doctor, yes. If it comes from me, no.
Okay.
So,
then, does that explain it? You need to have a talk with the doctor, and maybe he will assign a nutritionist to her case, who will then talk to your siblings. Just get a third person in there.
Yeah. Just and even just thinking that they might even open up to this, because they're pretty hardwired. So, good idea, though.
Yeah. Sometimes that third person makes all the difference.
Yes. And wears
someone
maybe a white coat.
Yeah, exactly.
Her name is, my mom's name is Janet. And,
okay.
And maybe we can hold the prayers for my sister and brother, Linda and David, that they, may get awakened.
Okay. I've got them on the list too.
Thank you.
You know, everyone is capable of learning if it's coming from the right source, and approachable in the right way.
Yeah.
And that's because we all build up defenses. Let's don't judge another for what we're guilty of also. We all have defenses, but different kinds of defenses. You know, I'm defensive about certain things as well. And everybody is. And if you get somebody to do your work for you that doesn't trigger a defense mechanism, you can get 3 miles further down the road. So, and of course, you know, I've talked many, many times on this call about the power of receiving. All of us have defenses we don't even know about. We really don't. You know, we think, oh, yeah, you know, I'm up to that. And then we get in the middle of something, and all of a sudden we're resisting what we encounter. Well, that resistance is not being caused so much by things happening in the now that just came up. That resistance is largely because you had defenses you didn't know you had until they got triggered by what's happening. So, you know, this is the only purpose of anesthesia, is lowering the defenses. There are documented cases of people who are masters of their defense mechanism, who have had root canals and major dental work done without any anesthesia at all. And I had a world-class doctor do my first hip replacement. She was so impressed with how I handled it, with how well I came through it with almost no need of pain reliever. So on the next one, she said, Glenda, let's try something else. Let's go put you under this time. Let me just give you a spinal injection to just numb that area. And she said, I wouldn't do this with most people because there are so many defenses that get kicked in an event like this. Because she said, you'll be aware of everything going on. You'll hear the saw. Can you handle it? And I said, sure. I find it interesting. She said, okay, let's do it because it'll be a lot better for you. So that's just another example of, well, I couldn't get rid of all the defenses, you know, with something like a hip replacement. There's no way I'm going that far. But we all have them. We all have them. And so we think something is impossible. We're praying for a new business, a new job, a new relationship. We're praying for a dear, sweet, beloved pet that's probably in their last year, and we want a miracle, but we don't really truly believe it's possible. So our defenses come up. You know why? Because when we pray for our dear, sweet little puppy, well, not a puppy anymore, but the one we loved as a puppy who's now a dear old lady, we're praying. But we pray with defenses because we just know what it's going to feel like when she has to go. And so we pray with hope, but we don't pray with faith. You see, faith is actually when you become like a child. You really don't know that fire burns as a child. You just think it's pretty. And your mom pulls you away from the fire and teaches you that, no, you cannot touch the fire. But here, I'll give you a stick, a long, long stick, and you don't go any closer, and I'll let you see how it catches on fire. And see, that might have happened to you if I hadn't caught you. And so then the child's faith is transferred to mom. Now she has faith in mom because mom knows about these things. So faith can become an entire network of knowledge and understanding where we know exactly how far we can go, how to find factors of trust, who takes care of us, how will things be, and we live on a whole infrastructure of faith. That's what we're building in the blessing here. We know that we still have to be careful. We have to follow the rules. Unless there's some kind of extreme exemption to this reality, we do need to drive on the correct side of the highway. Otherwise, we're going into harm's way, not faith's way. But we'll just override that emergency and say, we can get there doing it the right way because I know that God is watching over us. I know I can get there in time. I know I can get around the roadblock down the way. And you just see yourself actually getting around the roadblock. You see it done. Faith is seeing it done instead of resisting it. And sometimes to see it done, it helps to have a third or fourth person in that success formula with you. And that's one of the reasons that prayer meetings and prayer groups and prayer partners are so extremely valuable for us. They help us get around the roadblocks. And where we are, we have the words to pray, but our faith isn't 100%. Our prayer partner will have 100% faith. Where we might bring up an irritable discussion with a sibling, that nutritionist will just greet them with a handshake and say, hey, you know, you've got an easy situation here. This is all you have to do. And they go, yeah? Really? Oh, Oh, yeah, let me show you. You see? So faith transfers into faith until you have a whole infrastructure of faith. And that's what you love about this community, because we're bringing our collective faith to every single issue you have. And for every issue you have, there's somebody here that's got faith that it's possible. There's a solution. There's grace that can be added to the situation, and all will be well. So, Sandy, just have faith and ask, bring in another person or another and another, and we'll get it all done.
Thank you.
And now,
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And God bless you with your mom. I'm praying for her, and I know there's a way. I know there is, but it may take another one, two, or three, or four people involved, okay? And including somebody to care for her when she goes home, make sure she stays on track. So
exactly,
yeah. Okay, we are going to open the line to Stormy. Stormy, you are last, but definitely never the least. And we look forward to your benediction and blessing as we enter the blessing for all.
Yes. Lately, as I speak with Kathleen Wildwood once or twice every week, I told Kathleen, I says, Kathleen, you bring out the best in me when we have a conversation.
That's right.
From that relationship, I just wrote something today called Hearing. That which I wish to hear from me, I hear in you. Thank you for your connection.
Oh, I love that. That is perfect empathy.
Talk with each other. Listen for yourself. Hear each other in each other. I thought that would be a good blessing for this call.
Oh, it is. And actually, it is just a poetic reinterpretation of the first commandment that Yeshua gave to us, which is to love each other as yourself. So when you are in that state of empathy, you hear in another. And so often I've talked with someone and they said exactly what I needed to hear. Exactly. Or I did that for them. It works. It works. I mean, truly. So thank you, Stormy. That was a wonderful closure and opening to our blessing. And with that, let's get started. Everybody just relax. Be in this inner ocean inside yourself, that place of, that place. Well, it's not always peaceful, is it? You know, we can bring worries inside. We can bring anxieties inside or fears or doubts inside. But right this moment, we're going to bring a peaceful canoe into the waters of the inner ocean. And we're going to sit in that peaceful canoe and watch the little koi fish swimming around us. And maybe some dolphins jumping out of the water. We're going to think of the peaceful connectivity of that water, which is home to millions and millions and millions of creatures. And we are a guest in that water, and yet it swims inside the whole of our being. And over the horizon is the full moon reflected in the water. And in that reflection, we see a perfect example of what we can do for one another. We can reflect back to them what they cannot see in themselves. We can reflect back their beauty, the answers they need, the caring that they are or the caring they need. And they can look over and see that we, too, have been reflected in the water. And they see us as a reflection. And in that reflection, they see more to us and more about us than they could ever know directly. So often, we project into others our own fears and our own anxieties, and we draw wrong conclusions. And it's a very sad thing because it keeps us from understanding and connection. But in this blessing, we're going to be open to everyone. We're going to be open to ourselves most of all. Open to the Holy Spirit that can even cross over all of your boundaries and tear them down. To Christ, who's already inside you, in your heart, who lives there and walks with you as the higher love and the higher guidance that you need in those special moments. I will leave you to contemplate on those things and take a few deep breaths and hold them and let them out slowly. And I will say my prayer to Yeshua. Then the blessing givers will join me in increasing the energy of the blessing while you offer your prayer. Dear Yeshua, we know you are with us in our heart always. We ask for confirmation and affirmation of your presence because it helps. Unfortunately, we doubt. Unfortunately, we fail to see, we fail to look, we fail to listen. Let us see you now and know that you're here, you're taking care of our needs. And we ask you to be with those all over the world who are in need, who are suffering. Be with those who fell in the calamity in Miami Beach. And with everyone who's become frightened because of it, or worried about their loved ones who may be trapped in it. And blessings for the first responders and all the caregivers who've gone to help. We ask that you be with those who are in drought-ridden areas that are starting to emerge with fires as the summer comes on. Help us all to understand that this is life, this is the earth, and we must be careful to make adjustments and adaptations and bring our life into places of better survival and better peace. Help us to ask the right questions about our own life, our body. Help us to bring into our life the right other people who can give us consolation, comfort, answers, and encouragement. That we are not walking alone, but we are walking with those who form the infrastructure of our life, and it's beautiful. And with it, we are not just one person, we are many. We are not just one need, but many, and our needs are the needs of others. And so as we satisfy our own needs, we have understanding about how to help others. Let us understand ourselves as a person within an enormous community. And that enormous community both feeds on us and feeds us. Now we ask for your blessing, because we know that your blessing will cleanse our barriers to seeing these beautiful things. Your blessings will bring the answers. Your blessings will lead us into the support we so deeply need, the understanding, the help, and restore our love and our faith, which will make us whole. We ask all of this in your blessed name, with the grace of the Holy Spirit and the eternal love of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, to finish receiving it, you must go and lie down for at least 7 minutes without thinking, without even praying. Just leave yourself to be a blank slate upon which all possibilities can be written. And then rise up and just get on with your day, get on with your week, and allow the blessings to unfold. Bye-bye for now. I love being with you, and I look forward to being with you again next week.